This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please pray with me. Not by might or by power, but by my Spirit. And gracious God, may we discern that Spirit, that call, that correction, that repentance, in this wilderness of Advent. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a kid, on Saturday mornings, I would go to the zoo with my mother and sometimes my grandmother. And it was a wonderful place to visit. It was filled with all these magnificently beautiful animals. The lion would be in the lion's environment, the snakes would be in the snake house, the monkeys would have their trees and swings and be near their caves. But one of my favorite places was the petting zoo, because in the petting zoo, we would find peacocks, we would find lambs, which was unusual in a state that raises cattle, so it was the first time I got to see lambs, and then there would be goats, little kids. And it was nice to be able to be close to them and to touch them and let them see them roam and be together. Just a special, special time. Well, that image is captured in so many ways in this reading from Isaiah chapter 11. It is that there that we see this vision and this promise of through God to the prophet Isaiah that tells the people of hope. The promise of a leader that will come from the stump of Jesse as David did, will rule like David, will be righteous, will be faithful, and the world is going to be so filled with the knowledge of God that's been brought about by righteousness and by faithfulness and by justice that the weak are going to be cohabiting, standing side by side by the weak. And the weak will not be terrorized anymore as they stand by the strong. They'll be like the lion sitting with the calf, or the bear and the ox grazing with the more weak animals in their presence. It is a beautiful, beautiful image of what's going to happen on that holy mountain where there'll be no harm, only good. And this righteousness will lead to understanding and understandingly knowing God. Knowing God and wanting God's will to prevail so that peace is the predominant characteristic of our society, not only within me, but also within all of the earth, all of creation. That animal scenario also harkens us back to probably creation, to the idea that animals would roam and none would hurt each other, to this reimagining and showing us what peace looks like. This comes from the wilderness. The wilderness is defined as a wild place where there are undomesticated animals, where humanity has not touched or changed. It's a wild place. It's a place where spirits of love and hate and the chaos of everything that is present. And the wilderness image is used throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, to remind us that God calls us often into the wilderness to encounter God. When we think of the Israelites as they leave Pharaoh from bondage, they go into the years of wilderness of roaming, and seeing God as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and hearing the words of covenant that God offers and calls to us to enter into relationship, not only with God, but with one another, so that there may be peace, and we may know it in our hearts. It's also known through the prophet Jeremiah, calling out to the people in exile in Babylon, they who have been uprooted from their homes, taken to a place of unusual and foreign kind of culture, of living in a separated from what they were born to be in, into Jerusalem, the holy city. And in the words of Jeremiah, live, prosper, marry, know the people you're with, pray for them and their prosperity, because I have plans for you, not to harm you, but to do you good, but to do good by you. Again, beckoning them back to what would have seemed a wilderness, not only in Babylon, but when they came back with devastated buildings, no temple, rebuilding it with a trowel in one hand and a sword or a bow and arrow in the other, but still trusting in the God that has a place for them in Jerusalem. So here we are with John the Baptist in the wilderness, being called out to repentance, to be with John, to confess our sins, to be baptized for cleanliness. Because why? To make our hearts, make our lives ready to receive the one who comes to offer to us love and peace and hope, the one who is foreshadowed in our Isaiah reading, the one who will rule with righteousness, the kind of leader we always have wanted, and that there indeed is justice, that the poor are not trodden upon, nor the powerful unchecked. With John were heard the words of the one who is to come after, the one who in Isaiah is anointed with this Spirit, God's own Spirit upon him. And this one will come, and he will be in this kingdom of heaven being presented, that John says that he's not even qualified to pick up his shoes and to carry them. Yet, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees come up, there's special words of for them to listen to, that they must be, what they believe must be equivalent to the acts they do. They must bear fruit of what they are called to be. And in that he says, be careful, because the one who comes is going to baptize, not just with water, but by fire. It's in the fire that we are purified. It is in the fire we find the Spirit. It is in the fire that we are awakened to who we are. This idea of wilderness isn't, it is so implanted in the Jewish scripture that I looked at the words about both in English and in Hebrew. And in English, wilderness comes from, of course, wild, but it's particularly wild animals. And its very root word in Indo-European means to breathe. It's breath. It is creation. It's going back to the original idea of what it was in wilderness, to once you're there, to begin to see. The same in Hebrew. It's a word that means wildness, wilderness, undomesticated. But it means what? Not to see, but to speak once we've heard. To speak once we've heard. So there's a person who has actually come and done some clergy retreats, and her name is Renee Miller, a spiritual director. She writes books. There's Finding Fertility in a Barren Land. She aspired amongst all these different things that she does to live out a dream she'd had as a child, which was to drive a truck. So she became qualified as a truck driver and did that for a couple years. She's shorter than I am, okay? And but she was able to do all the things she could do to drive the truck, and that was what she had heard was her calling. The idea is, if we go into the wilderness, she said when she takes her retreats and she goes into the desert, many of us know the desert that's between the Midwestern and old Route 66. We used to go through the desert there. She said when she got there, she'd start to look. And what she saw was gray, brown, light brown, dark brown, just sand, wilted plants. She'd look. And when she began to take breaths and was breathing and was relaxing, she could see there's a little spot of rose colored. Look at that. There's a little bit of yellow there. And all of a sudden, she saw this desert landscape come alive. just come alive with colors and life, teeming, that something she hadn't seen before and couldn't because she wasn't breathing. So we see with our eyes, but we also see with our hearts. When we sit still and breathe and begin to let go, what comes up are the hurts, the things that have separated us from one another, the places where we've not had time to cry, to even recognize, to even to point out. The late Rabbi Jonathan Sacks used to say that, that it is when we are able to be still, when it's able to sit still, that these happen so that we begin to not just see, but prepare ourselves to hear. Then, after that, we then look with our minds. We've listened with our eyes and with our heart, and now with our brains, our minds, to discern darkness from light, justice from injustice, of what acts are we engaged in? What is our society doing? How are we participating with it without furthering this cause of knowing God so that the world may be filled with the knowledge of God? And then lastly, I discern with my spirit. I discern with my spirit that righteousness, that truth, that thing that tells me who God is in Christ, the Christ who brings peace to us. It is in that discerning, in that spirit, that we hear those small, still words of Christ, and particularly, I leave you my peace. My peace I leave to you. It's there within you. It's there within your spirit. So we begin to hear. And when we hear God's voice telling us and reminding us who we are, we remember our stories. We remember where we've come from. We remember God's hand on our lives. We remember preparing that entryway into our hearts time and time and time again. From there, from the time that we remember God, we not only hear God, but we take that righteousness and that peace into the world so that they may all know this peace. But in sitting there and knowing our stories, it calls us to a place where we let the world know that it too can be filled with peace. It too can hear this voice of Christ, that we can breathe in. We can breathe in what it is to have the Spirit of God upon us because we've experienced it at that time. We're called, brothers and sisters, into the wilderness this Advent, as we are always, but particularly so that we can anticipate this gift that God is giving us. God, on that night we celebrate on December 24th, of God amongst us, but not just God, but the God of righteousness, of justice, of caring, of not missing anything in our hearts or in our prayers, the God that continues to reach out, not by might and not by power, but by my Holy Spirit. Amen.